You know, I think some of what the Lord's doing really goes back to when Katie Barker was here last month. And she came and just really presented us with some keys, and we're just going to really keep walking in those. I think there's keys for change in our life, keys for opening new doors, and I believe keys for greater consecration to the Lord and His purposes in our life. And we all ought to be given to it. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just going to continue in the course of these recent weeks. We've been seeing the power of God's Word in prayer and how it works in our lives and how we continue to operate and having a revelation of the authority behind God's Word is important in our prayer life. Being able to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In any situation and circumstance, how important is that? And then, of course, stand. Knowing that we've done all that we've needed to do to make a stand in any given situation. And of course, in the Gospel of Luke, the centurion's faith was commended because he understood that Jesus only needed to speak the word. We saw that. Jesus commended his faith. And oh, that the church would get a hold of that truth. Oh, that the church would get that in their hearts. And, you know, this morning as we continue in the Word, I thought we'd start off with that great passage of Scripture there in Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through to 5. And so when Jesus had concluded his discourse in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. It's just sort of at the north part of the Sea of Galilee there. And there, a highly valued servant of a centurion was sick and about to die. And when the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his servant. And they came to Jesus and pleaded with him earnestly, "This man is worthy to have you grant this, for he loves our nation and he's built us a synagogue." What a guy this centurion must have been. He came in to, you know, as a conqueror, but had a heart for the people of the land and built them a synagogue. It'd be like someone coming along and saying, "You know what? I love what you guys are doing here. I'm just going to build you a church." How about that? Hallelujah. And look what it goes on to say. So in Luke chapter 7 and verse 6, it says, "So Jesus went with them. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends with the message, 'Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not consider myself worthy to come to you.'" So he's going through all this worthiness thing. And look what he says, "But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I tell one to go and he goes, and another to come and he comes. I tell my servant to do something and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled at the centurion. Turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith." And when the messengers returned to the house, they found the servant in good health. Praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to be a people that are called to look to Jesus as our example. What a life-changing revelation is to see that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He sends his word. Faith is authored and initiated in our hearts, and we begin to speak and pray it and say it, aligning ourselves to his word. Amen. He is then able to finish or complete our faith. He upholds all things through the word of his power. I love the story of the centurion because, you know, he demonstrated to Jesus that you can understand how the word works. The word goes out with authority from heaven. The Bible does say that he upholds, Hebrews 1:3, he upholds all things by the word of his power. And we are blessed as his people to be able to get around his word. And actually not only just get around it and read it, be stimulated by, you know, facts and etc., but we can actually get it into our hearts and actually speak it as well and see the same power being released. It's the sequence of heaven's will being done on earth through the church. And it should make us want to pray his word more and speak his word. You know what the centurion had? His faith was on the basis of him understanding that the word went with authority, and that he also, being a man of authority, also knew how it worked. He could say, speak it, and of course see changes occur. how important it is that the church gets that same revelation. Hebrews 12 and verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author, get that, the author and finisher of our faith. He authors our faith. How does faith come? By hearing. By hearing the word of God. Faith comes that way. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And that word finish there means to bring to completion. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand side of God. There we have great truth. What does it look like to be a follower of Jesus? We need to answer that question. Church, if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we're going to need to be prayers. It's true. A people that connect with the Father's heart and then engage our mouths and start to speak and say what he's saying. And of course, there's a lot of scriptures around that truth and basis. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. In other words, move your mouth. Move your mouth with thanksgiving. And his courts with praise. Praise. Move your mouth. You know, we can't afford to be silent and just, well, I just believe. No, we need to move our mouths and speak and say what God is saying out over our lives, out over our families, out over our marriages. You know, we need to be aligning our mouth with what God's word is saying. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Again, move your mouth. Be blessing the Lord all the time. I was tell you a funny moment. I was sitting in a conference one time, and I think the preacher was being very contemporary. He was just saying, oh, we've just got to watch all that Christianese thing going on, you know. And this is what the preacher was saying. It was sort of like at a little workshop table. And of course, he was sort of saying, oh, you know, how we're always praising the Lord all the time. And that, and he was actually sort of coming from the direction of, well, that doesn't, you know, that doesn't necessarily inspire people. And I'm sitting there with about four guys who are hard and fast word of faith guys. And like one of them sits there and goes, well, the scripture does say, let the praise of the Lord be continually in our mouth, you know. And so he's quietly having a little, you know, mention about that. And of course, we understand that we're to move our mouths. We're to speak forth his praises. And look what it says in Psalm 34:1. I will praise the Lord at all times, you see. I will constantly speak his praises. Now, if you're at work and your employer has employed you to fulfill a certain thing, you are there to do that job. Now, that doesn't mean coming into the workplace every morning and lifting up your hands and saying, praise the Lord, you know, and just keep praising the Lord that way all day long. But how many of you know you can praise the Lord from your heart? Yeah. You know, you can praise the Lord quietly in your spirit all the day long. You can praise him and worship him and be thinking about him, thinking about the fact that there is seated at the right-hand side of the Father, that you can enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise all day long. We're going to be talking about that. Amen. And here's a good question to ask ourselves. When Jesus rose from the dead, ascended into the heavens, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, and he did that, here's a question. What's he doing now? What's he doing now? Just so you know, I'm not looking for an answer necessarily from that. It's rhetorical, okay? One thing he is doing, waiting. He's waiting. Hebrews 10:13 says that since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made a footstool for his feet. He's waiting for his enemies. Well, who's going to do that? This is a series on being battle ready. Who's going to make his enemies his footstool? That's right. John's hand came up. It's us. We're here to make his enemies his footstool, to get his will in heaven being done on earth. And I tell you, we're going to do it through prayer, church. That's how we're going to do it, you know. Not through, you know, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That's how we're going to get the work done. Okay, next question. What else is the Lord doing there? And I like this part. He is interceding for his church. He's praying for us, you see. He's interceding for us. Romans 8:34 says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. It's just praying for us, praying the Father's will out over us, over the church, you see. And of course, making intercession for us means that he is upholding all things by the power of his word. So we've got to recognize there's a connection in our prayer life to his word, to, you know, the scriptures, what he has said, what he has promised his church. And we're to get out and pray that. You know, I was mentioning last week how I was blessed in my early days of my Christian life and know it as a turning point when I actually wrote down scriptures out of the Bible, wrote down scriptures, wrote down promises of God concerning my life, and realized that as I started to pray those and I actually put them into sections of my life, you know, my family, my children, my work life, my ministry life, and I wrote those scriptures down and began to pray them, I tell you, it was such a turning point in my life when that actually started and occurred. So we are continuing our series on being battle ready. And of course, it's so important that when we realize that when we pray, not so much to him, but when we pray with him, that is so powerful. We're praying with our Lord Jesus Christ, who sat at the right-hand side of the Father. And we've seen that prayer that comes from the throne of grace, prayer that is a result of revelation knowledge, becomes prophetic prayer. And of course, it is aligned with him. And we can actually not only pray it, speak it, say it, we can decree it, we can declare it, and of course begin to see the fruit of that in our lives. So Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus was our focus, and of course it was a letter that was to the whole church. It was a circular letter that went out to Ephesus, and we've been looking at it over these last couple of weeks. Ephesians 6 verse 10, finally my brethren, be strong in the Lord. He's not asking you to be strong in yourself, you know. You might have been to the gym, but that's not going to help you in the fight we're talking about. It doesn't. I could talk about going to the gym and getting fit for a season, and it wears off. But this is something that we need to continue to walk in as well, just like you do when you go to the gym. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we have to understand what the Apostle Paul was talking about. It's the strength that we're called to. It's not our strength, but we are called to have it, to be strong in the Lord. Amen. Ephesians 6, as it goes on, it says in verse 11, put on the full armour of God so that you may stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. It's against the authorities. It's against the powers of this world's darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're called to a battle, and we need to be battle ready as his church. And of course, then we read on into verse 13, and it says, therefore, take up the whole armour of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, I'm not sure I get that. There it is. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now here's, that's battle ready. Battle ready. You know, if I was to tap you on the shoulder, could you give me three scriptures on righteousness? As a thought, because it's that truth that actually becomes that breastplate of righteousness in our lives. And you know, you think about it, the breastplate is that big part, isn't it? The breastplate, you know, in the armour, is the biggest part. If the enemy's aiming at anyone, they aim for the big part. I tell you, your righteousness with God is so important. Your understanding of that you being right with God is so important, because the enemy would come and try and deceive you out of that. Make you think that you're not saved. Make you think that, you know, that you're not really walking with him, and you know that you're not worthy. He'll try all those lies. And of course, the breastplate of righteousness is like that biggest part that the enemy will aim for. So we need to get those truths in our life, and you know the scriptures that talk about that, that really secure that. You know that, you know, what's the first scripture that comes to me when I think about righteousness is 2 Corinthians 5:21. You know, it talks about, you know, our righteousness, that which is a gift from God. You know, it's not something of ourselves, and that he became our sin that we might become his righteousness. And great truth to have in your heart. Ephesians, I like to say this, Paul then continues to say what the armour is for. What is the armour for? And of course, in verse 18, it says praying. starts off by saying praying, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Hallelujah. Thing that I want to just in the time that we've got remaining is look at a few truths about this one verse that tells us so much about prayer that we should understand. Praying always. You know, we should always pray. You know, we should always be about the business of praying. And I've mentioned already, but you can pray when you're in the workplace. You can pray when you're quietly working. You can do it from your spirit. Just be lifting up praise and prayer to God, you know. You can be quietly praying. You don't even have to pray in the spirit under your breath. You can quietly pray in the spirit from your spirit. If you haven't tried that, you should try that. It's a really good technique for praying always, praying continuously. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, rejoice at all times, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. It's that heart that connects with the Father's heart. It's something that we can do. Give thanks in every circumstance, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I just say that, and I just make the point, it's thank Him in every circumstance, not for every circumstance, all right? I'll just make that, because we have an enemy out there who's throwing stuff in our way, obstacles, circumstances, situations that are there to rob us, to stop us from going forward, to bring us to despondency, and of course us to be discouraged. Understand that God's not sending this stuff. We have an enemy who brings things into our lives, and we have to recognize that our enemy is out to cause us to stumble. I would never thank the Lord for an attack from the enemy. As it says, give thanks in every circumstance. So in other words, we're thanking the Lord for our delivery. We're thanking the Lord for our rescue. We're thanking the Lord for His answer in the middle of the situation. We're not saying, well, Lord, I'm just thanking You because this is You. You know, we realize that there's an enemy out there and he's out to bring us down. Don't limit yourself to thinking that that's the Lord doing that and He's bringing this on you because He wants to teach you something in this situation. That you've got to really watch out for that thinking. It really does get out of shape and out of order very, very quickly. We should pray with all prayer. There's all kinds of different prayers as well. You know, it's not just a prayer of supplication. There's a whole range of different prayers. There is the prayer of supplication. There's the prayer of agreement. There's the prayer of thanksgiving. There's the prayer of faith, prayer in the Spirit. There's prayer and fasting. There's a whole range of different types of prayer that you can actually gain an understanding and actually see that there's an application for those different types of prayer. And I encourage you to be mindful of those. Don't limit your prayer to, now I lay me down to sleep, okay? Don't make that mistake. Or, you know, for what we're about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful. I heard a story of the pastor who decided that he just was so tired that he had to have a Sunday off. He didn't want to actually sort of rest. He wanted to just go and have some time away. So on that particular Sunday, he decided that he'd go fishing. And of course, as he was there out in the creek, this big old crocodile started to circle his boat. And there he was going, Lord, I know I shouldn't have taken this Sunday morning off. You know, this crocodile is circling him and he's saying, Lord, make him a Christian crocodile. Make him a Christian crocodile. So there he is sort of praying this over this croc that's circling his boat. And sure enough, the croc sort of comes right up to him and sort of looks him in the face and says, for what I'm about to receive, may the Lord make me truly thankful. Not a true story, but it just goes to show, you know, we've got to have a little bit more in our repertoire than, you know, now lay me down to sleep. You know, we need to be able to pray prayers that actually make a difference. Prayers that actually are about the will of God and the Word of God, about His promises, and see those coming to pass in our life. We should pray with watchfulness. It's all coming out of that one verse, Ephesians 6:18. We should pray with watchfulness. Like Psalm 25, it says, show me Your ways, O Lord. Teach me Your paths. Guide me in Your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. All day long I will wait on you. Now that's that. That's what we're doing, you know, when we're just connecting with him, even in our work day. We just got that prayer going up to him continuously. Just our heart connecting with his, you know, just praising him quietly from our spirit. That's that waiting on him and being watchful. I believe, and we've said it previously in this series, that, you know, we need to be a people that pray about what to pray about. And take that time just to wait and listen and understand. You know, when we do that, and I've certainly seen the fruit of doing that, he gives you what to pray about. Gives you things. You see, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's coming up next. And he'll even show you how to pray differently or pray specifically into areas of your life. But it takes connecting. You know, it takes getting into that flow where there's that flow of waiting on him, you know, just being consecrated and surrendered to him for him to actually, you know, download those insights. And I love it. I love it. And I've been sharing just recently just how the Lord's been actually speaking to us in our role, you know, certainly a leadership role here at the church. I love the fact that he's showing us things about the future. Love the fact that he's actually been pinpointing things that we need to be doing, and he's actually showing us now, you know, even over the next 10 years, a vision, you know, for this church and things that we need to be pressing into. So I'm really excited about those things. You know, in other words, don't be the one that does all the speaking when you're praying. Do some listening as well. And that's okay, just to listen. I don't know about most of us are not very good at listening. We want to do all the talking. Boom, 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 boom. And then, you know, listening's not really, you know, high on our priority. But with God, he's the one that knows everything. We should at least listen a little bit, you know. He might just tell us something that's very advantageous for our lives. And then we should, as the next one says, we should pray for the saints. We should pray for others. You know, don't just be focused on your own needs in your prayer life. Be thinking of others as well, praying for others. It's so very important how essential it is that we be praying for the salvation of others that are around us. And I know that that's not something this church needs to be too concerned about. I know that you're a praying church, that you have a value for others coming to Christ and coming to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, we still need to be praying for others. You know, someone tells you a problem that they've got, you know, add it into your prayer life about their circumstance that they're in, okay, and of course, thanking the Lord for their rescue, for their answer to their situation. You know, we need to be a people, and I believe it. And this is an old principle: if you pray for someone else's needs, I tell you what, you watch, the Lord will meet your needs as well. He sees what you're doing. He sees your heart, that heart to see others being blessed. And of course, our love for others is best expressed when we forgive someone and, of course, pray for them. James 5:16 talks about that. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And that's a great, great verse to have tucked in our hearts and to be reminded of, about praying for one another. Obviously, there's other scriptures as well that we can be looking into, but, you know, the thing that I want us to think on today as we close and as we finish, I'm finishing a little early today, but I want to say this, is that, it's well and truly a scripture that should capture our attention. It says, the Lord is sitting in his sacred temple on his throne in heaven. He knows everything we do because he sees us all. Every single thing. You know, the closer we get to him, I tell you, the more holy we get. Because what we're doing is we're actually separating ourselves to him. What's holiness about? It's about separation. The more we get closer to him, there's this separation that continues to occur. And you start to wonder, well, what about all the sin and stuff? Well, you see, the more we focus on holiness, the more we separate ourselves to the Lord. So it's not so much a separation from, it's a separation to. And as we start, you know, and it's done through prayer, you know, as we continue to connect our heart with his, and we become very sensitive that we even know that, you know, when there's an area, you know, and what I have found that is that even when the entrance of a thought that's not right comes, it's almost like you reject it. Not gonna let that occur. Yeah, you know, it's not even to the point where you need to repent of the thought, because the thought didn't even go any further than just coming. And then we separate ourselves to God. I tell you, because he knows everything we do, because he sees it all. And the more we do that, it's almost like we're saying, Lord, I just want all that you have for me. Oh, Lord, I just want all that you want to download to me. I want all of that. And I want to walk in it. I want to not only walk it, I want to receive it. And then I want to talk it. And I want to speak it. And I want to decree it. And I want to declare it. I want to say what you're saying. And oh, Lord, I want to align my life with yours. And that's prayer. Okay. And we get a different perspective of prayer when we start to see it as our heart connection with the Father. Well, we can actually not just pray to him, you know, almost religiously, but pray with him. Amen. And that's another level that we should go to and go for. Praise the Lord. Why don't we all stand to our feet today, and we're going to ask the Lord a blessing on our prayer lives and of course, on our battle readiness. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you again today, Lord God, for your word and for the promises in your word, Lord God, the truths in your word, Lord God, that light our way, that show us, Lord God, a pathway before us, Father God. We thank you that the entrance of your word gives us light, Father. We thank you for revelation knowledge today, Father God, into our hearts and lives, Lord. Just from your scripture, Lord God, from the things that have been spoken today, Lord God, we open our hearts, Lord God, that you would bring a fresh revelation of the importance of our prayer life, Lord. Lord, that even the armor of God, Lord God, all of those truths, Lord God, concerning the fight that we have, Lord, the battle that's against us, Father. We realize, Lord God, that it's all about prayer, that we actually find ourselves in that front line, Father. It's all in prayer, Father. And that we would be that people, Lord. We would be that people that take up our responsibility in that fight, Father. Begin to pray your heart, Lord God. We begin to do our part by praying your heart, Lord. And knowing what it is and seeing, Father God, your name glorified. Lord, we give you thanks today. We praise you, Lord God, for your word, Lord God. We thank you for its work in our life. We say it's a lamp unto our feet and a guide unto our path, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. It shows us where we are and shows us where we can go. Lord, we thank you today. And Lord God, we commit ourselves afresh to your word. Lord, as we sing this last song today, Lord God, that we would be those people that have that heart to do our part in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.